and Ecology, KPFT's program dedicated to local heroes at the forefront of environmental action, ecology, in and for our community, social justice, health, and spirit. My name's Patricia Greer.
And I'm Kath Conlon.
And we are here with our technical support, H.C. Clark and Laura Slavin, and everybody else that joins in to make this station and this program available to you. Today, we welcome Al Wallace with Energy Environmental Corporation. Al, good morning.
Well, good morning, Patricia. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so thankful that you're going to be talking to us about everything that you're doing in this community and in this world and what some of our options are today.
Great.
Yeah, very, very thankful. Al founded Energy Environmental Corporation in 2006 after operating Eagle Ridge Engineering Corporation as a residential general contractor since 1998. He's got experience that just goes beyond everything that we can list in these next few minutes, and his expertise lies in the integration of these systems in order to reduce building loads as a prerequisite to installing alternative power systems in on-grid applications involving solar, wind, and micro-hydro. He's just an absolutely amazing man. He's a member, an associate member in the Denver chapter of the AIA. He is licensed in the Colorado Department of Water Resources for geothermal systems. He's certified for LEED for homes rating compliance. He's an instructor at the Timber Framers Guild and the Rocky Mountain Workshops, where he delivers educational seminars on high-performance home design and integrated renewable energy systems. And the list just goes on. It's amazing. His corporation is a Colorado-based design and building company delivering worldwide integrated systems, architecture for renewable, residential, and commercial buildings. And you can get more information if you're at home and you want to look this up while we're talking by going to energyhomes.org. So, Al.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot said in just a couple seconds there.
Yeah.
Tell us about your company.
Well, you know, I was kind of burned out with the dot-coms about 10 years ago, and I decided to go back to school. I had an engineering degree, and it's like, well, what do I study? And I got into architecture, and I realized that architects and engineers really don't understand energy-efficient design. And rather than take classes in the summer, I started taking classes from contracting or manufacturing companies of these renewable energies. And I learned state-of-the-art technologies that were not being taught in the school. And so when I graduated, I said, there's a niche market here. And the first year or so, it was really tough because people were not talking about sustainable and renewable, and now it's kind of the center of the universe. So it's kind of it's a great time to be into this market.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned to me that you were doing, and this is sort of off your subject just a little tiny bit, but you mentioned to me that there were opportunities for you to teach young people how to do the part that you're doing right now that would offer them green jobs.
Yes, in fact, I think one of the challenges today, not only for established contractors in the construction market, are people that are just graduating from high school. They may not want to go to college, or they might want to go to college after they figure out what they want to do in life. And one of the efforts we have, we're working with Goodwill Industries in Denver, and they have an earn and learn program where they've had students in a renewable energy or energy class where they teach them the basic math and science. And I approached Goodwill and I said, I think one of the things they really need are hands-on skills with the installation of solar and geothermal and renewable technologies for indoor air quality. So we are teaching a boot camp the last week of March, and the kids are giving up their spring break. There's between 24 and 30 students, and we're giving them a five-day, drink from a fire hydrant, contractor trades training on how to do solar hot water, solar photovoltaic, wind towers and turbines, and renewable systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then for 2 months, we're going to actually place them with contractors so they can get hands-on skills, and then beginning June 1st, we're going to offer them as apprentices to companies so they have a paid job right out of high school.
Wow.
And it's an exciting program because it's going to give kids that might be flipping hamburgers something in the renewable energy field and it's good for the environment as well.
Right, something that they can actually grow into. So do you feel like this program that you've just described is replicable from, you know, city to city or state to state?
In fact, that's part of our longer-term plans. I definitely believe that. We've been teaching the seminar to homeowners, potential homeowners that are building their homes and they're looking for solutions to put into a new home, whether the general contractor. And it's been attended by contractors, architects, and engineers, and timber framers who are basically large timber construction but not necessarily into systems. And every time we have the class, it's sold out. And at the end of the class, they said, that's exactly the amount of information that I needed to know what I don't know so I can move forward informed on how to install these systems.
My goodness. Well, good for you. Okay, so now that we have that out of the way and folded into the system, we would certainly like to know more about that. Tell us what your company does.
We take a look at the house from a holistic standpoint of the heating and cooling system, the indoor air quality, the power generation and power use in the house. And we try to find the best of the best systems. I call it bare maximum. It's spend the least amount of money and get the highest payback.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll take a house, and I would say 75% of our clients are existing homes that they're trying to upgrade. And the biggest payback is usually air sealing and insulating the house, making it more energy efficient. And then we take a look at the heating and cooling system, and we'll implement technologies like a geothermal heat pump for heating and cooling, an energy recovery ventilator to make sure that if the house is tight, they get fresh air and it's also filtered. And then after we make the house building envelope and the systems efficient, then we take a look at what kind of power they might want to generate on site to make their house have a lower footprint on the grid.
Mm-hmm. So if you live in Houston, Texas, and you've got really high humidity, how does the factor of sealing your house so tightly, you know, tell me how those two pieces dance together?
That's a great question, Kath. There's a building scientist in Massachusetts that says, if you're a southerner, never let a Yankee design your house.
Mm-hmm.
And Colorado's pretty dry.
Mm-hmm.
But from a building science perspective, if you're sealing a house, you never actually seal both walls. One wall breathes. It's either the inside wall or the outside wall. If you're in a climate like Colorado where you're primarily heating, then the inside wall is sealed and the air breathes to the outside. That way, if there's any condensation, it forms on the outside of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
For a climate like Houston where you're primarily cooling, that air barrier is going to be on the outside of the house. So if you design the house properly, the wall should breathe and let any humidity out of the wall system.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the actual selection of systems, whether it's a ground source heat pump or an air conditioner, it's basically the same conditions in Colorado as you'd have in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did we talk about how you got into the alternative energy system world?
Well, I kind of, like I said, I got out of architecture school and I was taking classes. And I realized that there were a lot of things that were out there that were state-of-the-art, especially in Europe. I've done a lot of studying in Europe, in Germany and Switzerland. And I speak German because I used to fly in the Air Force. And I asked the builders at the Master Builder Academy in Rottweil, Germany, if they build energy-efficient homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me dumbfounded. And I thought they were, like, really behind the times. They didn't know what I was talking about. But what I found was they are so far ahead of where the U.S. market is that they can't imagine not building something that's energy efficient or green.
Mm-hmm.
Their Home Depot is, you know, filled with, you know, panels with wheat germ and rice glue, you know, totally sustainable materials. And so I got into it by seeing what the Europeans were doing and then applying that technology to the U.S. market.
My goodness. So can you imagine a way to get our Home Depots to transfer to that way of thinking here in the United States?
With the market system, it's a supply and demand. The more people that are asking for mm-hmm. these types of systems, they're going to get a response.
Mm-hmm.
One example I'll give you is that if you go to Home Depot today, you cannot find, and it's true for Lowe's, I'm not picking on Home Depot, but you cannot find a low VOC construction adhesive. And they probably use 60 cases of that stuff throughout the house. And then for years, you're leaking VOCs into your house because it's between 300 and 600 grams per liter.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you have a website where you, or you're building a website that would list things just like what you talked about, an adhesive that's safe.
Yes, we, in Thanksgiving a year and a half ago, our house had burned down, and so we decided to rebuild it as a, make lemonade out of lemons and make it super green from a building products perspective, local materials, but also a systems perspective. And I hired Anna Stevens, who's our VP of Technology, and she has a PhD and was working at the Governor's Energy Office. And she literally researched hundreds of products and then developed a website that has the information that we incorporated into this house. And that's PlatinumLeadHome.com. And that's LEED. So if you went to PlatinumLeadHome.com, you would find the products and the systems that we thought were leading edge in today's mainstream market and how to acquire those products. What we're going to add fairly soon is we're going to have links to actual where you can buy those products. So it's one thing to go to the manufacturer, but it's something else to find it in your local economy.
My goodness, that's a huge gift. Thank you very much for doing that. Tell me a little bit about what you mean by integrated renewable systems.
Usually when we call a contractor, we call the solar hot water guy, or we call the radiant floor contractor, or solar PV, or we call a plumber and ask for tankless hot water heater. And those trades normally do not talk to each other. So if you're a new construction and you're building a set of systems, you're going to get 10 different contractors putting things in your house that may or may not work together very well. And by making an improvement on one area, you could hurt yourself on another area. When we talk about integrated systems, it goes back to the holistic concept of, if I need hot water in my house for heating and drinking, how can I integrate systems to make them work together? Can I integrate the solar so that I primarily heat my house with solar and my hot water, but then whenever I don't have a solar resource, I can back it up with another system? And mm-hmm. so by integrating the technology, your efficiencies get very high.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you do?
Yes. In fact, one measurement for efficiency of systems is coefficient of performance, COP.
Mm-hmm.
And what a COP is the kilowatt hours that you paid for versus kilowatt hours that you get back. And if we look at a typical furnace, you know, people are arguing who the tallest midget is, you know, 96%, 97%. If you look at the COP of a ground source heat pump, it's 5.0. So you get $5 for every dollar you spend instead of 96 cents for every dollar you spend. And if you look at an integrated system, such as heating a pool as you cool your house, your coefficient of performance can get up to 10, 12, 14%. So you get $14 back for every dollar you spend on your systems.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean that that you are the engineer that's pulling all these systems together and making them work off of each other? Is that something that everybody does? Or is that something that's new to the field? Or how do you find somebody that can do that?
I think we're unique. There's two other firms that I've seen that have about two-thirds of the technology that we offer. One of our competitive advantages is we actually have software which models the integration of all these systems instead of having standalone modeling software. So I think we're unique in, from that standpoint. But you can, if the consumer learns, for instance, if they visited those websites I referred to, if they learn what technologies they really want to get integrated, they can actually download documentation on how to do that and then give it to their local contractors and then ask their local contractors to say, I want this integration between my water heater and my geothermal heat pump, or between my geothermal heat pump and my solar hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't find a contractor, we actually consult with homeowners all the time and answer questions via email or phone, or, you know, in some large projects. We have a large project in Kerrville, Texas, where we actually are on-site working with their contractors and our own contractors to install those systems.
Mm-hmm. So what you're actually doing is, it sounds to me like, is you're creating a community of subcontractors that don't normally speak or have anything to do with each other, that you're inviting them into a community so that they have to communicate.
That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's like herding cats.
Right.
It's really difficult, but they're, you know, the ones that get it are very successful.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Okay, so one more time, tell me how people get in touch with your list of resources, the contractors, the integrated systems. What is that website?
It's www.energyhomes.org.
Okay.
And it has the links to all the other websites that I mentioned.
Okay, the platinumlead.com.
Right.
Okay, great. Okay, so tell us about Kerrville. What's going on there?
Well, there's a doctor who has a leading newsletter for alternative medicines, and he's building a compound which will be his private residence, but also to entertain people and stuff. And he wanted to reduce his footprint and his energy demand, and through a timber framer, I got involved to design a system that would initially just cool the house. And we had three drilling rigs on site for about 3 weeks, and we drilled 48 300-foot deep vertical wells to provide geothermal. And as we started looking at the design, he wanted to heat the pool, and he has a little wine cellar, so we thought, well, you know, if we're cooling the house, we could heat the pool, and if we cooled the wine cellar, we could heat the pool, and so let's put those things together. And then we put some radiant tubing in there to, you know, distribute heat comfortably throughout the house without blowing hot air around in the wintertime. And then I said to him, I said, you know, if you really want to reduce your footprint, let's reduce your power usage. And so he said, how do we do that? And I said, let's put some big wind turbines up. And so we actually are installing a 10-kilowatt wind turbine from Berge Wind Power in Oklahoma, and then a 1.7-kilowatt wind turbine near his office to provide power to his office, which is the SkyStream wind turbine that's made by Southwest Wind Power out of Flagstaff. And then as we see the production of the power by those wind turbines, he probably wants to put up another 5 or 6 wind turbines so that his footprint on this entire compound is probably less than what your suburban house would be in Dallas or San Antonio or anywhere around there.
Mm-hmm. So when you say a turbine, is that like a little whirligig on the roof, or is it a windmill, or what?
It looks like a high-tech windmill. You never put, I mean, people say, I want to put a wind turbine on my house. If you literally put a wind turbine that was serious, not just charging your car battery, but if you put a serious wind turbine making power on your house, you would destroy the house, and the vibrations would make you go crazy.
Okay.
So the wind turbine actually mounts on a standalone tower, and the tower can either be a unipole, which doesn't have any kind of supports on the side, or the tall towers, which is ideal for large wind turbines, is you would have guy wires or a self-supporting tower.
Mm-hmm. So you've put up some wind turbines there, and you're expecting he's going to want to put up more. Can you tell me about the wells that you dug? How big around are they? Just for people that don't really know at all what it looks like, or, you know, just to get the concept. How big around is it, and how deep is it? And
in Colorado, we drill a 4 to 6 inch well about 200 feet deep. In Texas, because it's so hot and you have a high cooling load, a drilling rig drills down to 300 feet, and it's a 4 or 6 inch round hole.
Mm-hmm.
And for every 12,000 BTUs of cooling that you need for your house, you have to have one of those holes. You just can't dig a really deep well to do
mm-hmm.
that.
And how close do the holes have to be in proximity to each other?
They're about 20 feet apart.
Okay.
So 20 to 25 feet. So if I have 4 tons, which is 48,000 BTUs of cooling, if I had a square that was 20 by 20, I could drill 4 holes in that square.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I understand that an architect that I just was talking to this morning said that there's a temperature bubble in the Houston area, you know, in the ground, since we don't have cool spells or cold spells to actually cool the earth, that it doesn't cool. I mean, is what do you have to say about that? I mean, is that...
Well, I was reading a report actually on Texas several days ago, where they're talking about taking electricity out of the ground at very, very deep, like multiple thousands of feet, 4 to 8,000 foot deep. And they actually address that phenomenon. I've talked to geothermal designers and installers for residences, you know, that are going down 300 feet. They haven't found that to be the case. If the ground is a little bit warmer in certain cases, it makes the efficiency of the heat pump slightly less, but it doesn't make it a technology that you cannot implement.
Mm-hmm.
There's just certain locations where it might be more efficient than others, but the efficiency is only 10 or 15% difference. Ultimately, if you contacted a geothermal installer or a well driller, they'll know exactly what the ground temperatures are and the ground conditions, such as wet clay is perfect for geothermal, dry sand is not. And so if you have dry sand that they're drilling in, they're going to probably have to put a lot more ground loops in to get the same cooling load.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You stated that the heat pump makes cold air from ground temperature water. Does this mean that it can only cool to the temperature of the ground? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if we just pump the water out of the ground, that would be the case. But if you look at your refrigerator in your kitchen, it's 70 degrees in your kitchen or 72, and the refrigerator is making ice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
The way that does that is through a compressor cycle. So if you want to envision a heat pump, we have water that comes out of the ground that we're taking heat from the house and we're putting into that water. So it comes out at 50 degrees, and we send it back in the ground at 58 degrees. Well, based on the mass of water that I had flowing through that I reduced 8 degrees, that gives me a certain amount of cooling that I can then apply to the house. By putting those cooling units through a compressor, I can make super chilled air or even frozen air or water, or I can make very, very hot air or very hot water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've heard that... thank you very much for that description there. I've heard that this technology is referred to as geothermal or geoexchange. Are there differences in these terms?
Yeah, technically geothermal is making power from the ground, and all the geothermal companies call themselves geoexchange companies or ground source heat pump companies because they want to differentiate themselves from the large commercial power producers that are generating electricity from deep geothermal wells. Ironically, most consumers call it geothermal. What mm-hmm. they really mean is they mean geoexchange or ground source heat pump. So for this conversation, we'll just keep calling it geothermal, but technically geothermal is making electricity out of very deep ground wells. We're not talking about that.
Okay. What is a ground source heat pump?
It's a box that either looks like the size of your current furnace,
mm-hmm.
or if it's making hot water or cold water instead of hot air or cold air, it's about half that size. It's a little like 1 meter cube or 3 foot cube. And on one side, it has an exchanger of pipes that the water comes out of the ground and then goes back down, and it's got coaxial copper that's soldered onto those pipes to pull the heat off the pipes or put it into the pipes. It has a compressor in the middle, and then if it's making hot air or cold air, it has an air coil that circulates super hot refrigerant or super cold refrigerant, and as the air goes through the air coil, just like your furnace, it provides cold air or hot air. The difference between ground source heat pumps and most furnaces is that they have state-of-the-art technology that your furnace doesn't have but could have.
Mm-hmm.
One example is half the energy on your furnace or your air conditioner is the fan motor to blow the air through your house. There are very high performance and low energy use motors that are DC. It's called ECM, or electrocommutated motor. There's ECM motors that dramatically use less power than your typical furnace, up to 40%. And they also run variable speeds, so they can run very slow to very fast based on the demand for cooling.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a ground source heat pump with an ECM motor, they get efficiencies that you don't find in a typical air conditioning system.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So, Al, why can't I just use the groundwater and circulate it in my floor to cool the house?
If you had, you know, millions and millions of feet of pipe, you could probably do that. But what happens is the groundwater warms up as you put heat into it. So over the summer, your house would slowly get warmer and warmer to the point where it's too warm, too hot. The compressor cycle allows us to take even 70 or 80 degree water and still make 30 degree refrigerant out of it. So you need the compressor in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you tell me what the benefits, what are the benefits to using geothermal systems over the conventional air conditioner or gas furnace?
The one that most consumers realize immediately is the comfort. Because they're not blowing as cold of an air in big bursts, you don't get the draftiness that you get with typical systems. So they're running cool air for a longer period of time at a low speed. The other difference you'll notice is your checkbook at the end of the month.
This is fabulous information. Can you tell us one more time what your website is?
www.energyhomes.org.
And can you tell me other places for information, like other websites? That is that on your website as well, just for people that kind of want to surf around and see what else is out there?
Yeah, that's one of the, that was one of our goals when we created our website, was to give people links to other sites, such as the International Ground Source Heat Pump Association or to solar providers or whatever. So on the website, there are links to other organizations that provide information on ground source heating, on indoor air quality, to the EPA for LEED certifications, to U.S. Green Building Council.
Mm-hmm.
So the website does have
great.
Pretty rich in those links.
Thank you so much, Al Wallace. Have a good day.
What did you
hear today that inspires you to listen more, walk softer, run faster, and see deeper? Please stay tuned for Pat Jones and Whole Mother. This is Ecology on KPFT 90.1 Houston, Texas. Thank you for making a difference in our community. Have a great day.
KPFT is now accepting nominations for listener members to its program council. The KPFT Program Council is an advisory body founded to give broader community input in programming. The PC works with KPFT's management around a myriad of programming matters. KPFT is seeking 6 listener members to participate in the program council. Visit kpft.org to apply now and make plans to attend the Wednesday, March 18th local station board meeting to be held at the Haven Center, 1827 West Alabama, between Woodhead and South Shepherd in Houston. At KPFT .org, you can find full information about the program council, what it does, and how it works. You can also submit your own nomination to the program council. And don't forget to attend the March 18th local station board meeting to be held at the Haven Center, 1827 West Alabama, and speak to the board, which votes.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.